Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, and joining us, as usual, is the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Scott.
How are you doing today?
Thank you. Great. Great. Raring to go.
Awesome.
These summer months, I feel better. There's something about that. Actually, I feel best in the spring and the fall, so I feel best in the mild temperatures. I don't like really hot, and I don't like really cold. So, you actually caught the weather just perfect when you showed up here.
Yeah, I did, and we had 2 days of warm, sunny weather at home, and now it's raining again.
Okay. Well, anyway, today, for me, it's air conditioners on. I can't even take a walk outside.
Oh. I would like to have at least one day like that.
Come on up.
I'm coming back.
Okay.
It was a beautiful, beautiful day the last couple of days, and then I wake up this morning, it's clouded over, it's raining, and it's just like, this is July, it should not be like this.
So apparently we are affected by weather, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And by climate. You know, I read a study that people who live in rainy climates, like the coastal, where it's overcast a lot and dark and murky and all that, that it has high incidence of depression and of multiple sclerosis. Mm. Terrible.
Yeah, I can understand it.
Yeah, but anyway, let's not talk about that. Let's get back to our wonderful list that Mike Adams has provided us with the 20 things that are much worse for your children than lead-painted Mattel toys.
Yes, and we had started that off a couple weeks ago, and we talked about shampoo and bath products and dryer sheets and air fresheners and all these things that are things that they don't normally put in their mouths.
Fill the air,
fill the breath. Also are absorbed by the skin. And today we want to talk about a few items that are on the list that you actually do put into your mouth. And some of these will shock you, no doubt, when you find out what they are. And others will make you be going, well, no wonder I maybe don't feel so good after I eat this or I eat that. And the first one on our list is number 19 on his list, which is bacon.
Yes, he should have probably expanded it to bacon, bologna, sausage, and any other processed meats.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, bacon is the best of it all.
Yeah. So these are processed meat products, and they've got sodium nitrate in them.
Mm-hmm.
So we could include sausages and hot dogs and wieners and those sort of things. So they're contaminated with a lot of chemicals that are actually in the animal's fat, because when you look at how we raise beef normally, or pigs, or chickens, that's pretty toxic stuff that they're putting in there that, of course, then just moves up the food chain to us.
Right. Remember how we're not supposed to eat tuna because it's loaded with mercury?
Right.
Well, that's because tuna is a very large fish, and it eats other almost as large fish. And so, you know, the bigger the fish, the bigger the prey that they eat. And so, of course, it concentrates up towards the large ones.
Right.
Well, we humans, being at the top of the food chain on the land, we concentrate all of the things that are in the food. So if we feed herbicide-loaded grass to a cow, the herbicide ends up in the cow's fat. If we feed pesticide-loaded I don't know what it is, scraps of food to the pigs, it's going to end up in their fat. And that's what bacon is. Bacon is the best example of a mix of fat and flesh. Bacon comes from the sides of the belly of the pork. And that's where the fat goes. And when we cure it with sodium nitrite, which in itself is a horrendous thing. It's been now identified as the most likely cause of Alzheimer's disease.
Wow.
It actually does something to the brain barrier that allows the that allows the toxins to damage the nerve cells. And I just listened to a study not long ago where the report says that some guys were doing rat testing on sodium nitrite, showed it to some other researchers, and the guy says, "Where'd you get it? This is Alzheimer's." And the guy said, oh dear, this is sodium nitrite. So it's pretty much out there now in the research circles that if you do enough bacon for a long enough time, you will probably end up with your, losing your short-term memory.
Yeah, what were we talking about, Martin?
Oh.
just kidding. Lost my short-term memory there for a second.
Ah. Oh, you entertain me. Have another hot dog, honey.
That's right. Here we go.
Have you had another drink yet?
I have.
Good.
Yeah, I'm good.
Sounds like you're irritated at the throat. And anyway, so imagine the most convenient lunch food for your child is a piece of bread with a piece of sausage, or a piece of bun with a hot dog, or whatever. So if you love the convenience, just be aware of the fact that you're taking withdrawals from the bank, from the bank account of health of your child. Oh, when I look at the list, these products are definitely closely linked with colon cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer, and other diseases.
And it's really a case of death by a thousand cuts, right?
Absolutely. It's not that it's going to poison you overnight.
And that's the sad part about all of this stuff, is it's all like something, I love the taste of bacon.
Yes.
Or I love the corned beef, or I love sausages. And and of course, if they were made from 100% organic, free-range, antibiotic-free meats, and they weren't they didn't use the nitrates or the nitrites, it'd be a totally different story, right? But we've just created this way of making inexpensive food that really doesn't nourish us, and then we push it on everybody.
Right. Well, the beauty of that is that the nitrite is used as a conserving agent. It makes this thing last longer. Right? Normally, if you don't cure the meat, it spoils quickly. Cured ham is cured because it's soaked in the nitrite and then smoked. That's how it's done. You can't help it. So hopefully instead you could go for, how about this? Get a turkey breast sliced in the deli, right? Like a basic turkey roast slices, or chicken roast slices, or something like that, or even roast beef slices. If you want to feed some beef to the kid, just teach them to eat the natural instead of the cured.
Right, so just make a substitution here.
Yeah. It won't even be too difficult. You can do a pork roast that's never been cured. Once it's gone cold, you can slice it and put it in bread or whatever. If that's how you want to feed your child, I don't advocate it because I don't eat it now, but I sure used to.
Yeah, so another one on our list here that we wanted to make sure that we covered was soda.
Oh, yes.
So, we're talking about colas and...
multiple issues. Yeah, multiple issues. Now we
bubbly
have,
stuff.
Well, so we start with water. Let's just say that the water's good. If we add to it straight sugar, a typical soda adds about 9 teaspoons of sugar per 12-ounce serving.
Wow,
it's a ring, it's a can. That is an insane amount of energy. So that's one thing. The other thing is the phosphoric acid, which of course leaches calcium and other minerals out of the body.
This is why we have so much tooth decay.
Yes, I mean, they even talk about it on television, that you can get these translucent teeth if you've been drinking too much soda, right? And they say, and you can't get it back. Which, I don't know, maybe. Maybe if you use the transdermal magnesium on the teeth, it might actually remineralize it. But anyway, the one that really freaks me out about sodas are diet sodas. Because the aspartame that they use in it now is a well-documented neurotoxin. I've encountered folks that have had symptoms of multiple sclerosis. They were essentially losing their ability to walk. They were being pushed around in a wheelchair. They got off the diet sodas, and their symptoms receded, disappeared. Now, how's that for dramatic?
That's pretty dramatic. So, I mean, and I keep saying this over and over again, but you keep saying things that just keep reminding me of it, and that is, stop digging the hole.
Right.
So if we say, wow, like we're getting sick, okay, so what am I putting into my body? What am I breathing? What am I, you know, doing here, 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 here? And then, you know, get rid of it.
Yes.
See what happens. And, I mean, who would think that, I mean, you and I obviously would, but, I mean, in terms of the, you know, the doctor, you know, oh, are you drinking Diet Coke? Yeah. Well, stop it for 6 months and see what happens. Oh, you're better. Well, must be a fluke.
You know, it's the funniest thing. If you show up in a doctor's office with symptoms of, say, multiple sclerosis, he will never ask you, I mean, I don't know, I shouldn't make these absolute statements, but it's very unlikely that they'll ask you any question about your nutrition or what you drink or how you drink and all of that. They will simply try and treat the symptoms of the multiple sclerosis. Or with children, one of the classic symptoms of neurological problems is ADD, right? Learning disabilities.
Right.
They are closely associated with these chemicals, with these artificial sweeteners. So what if Johnny stopped drinking his sodas? Would he be less hyper, and would his brain start functioning better? Instead of Ritalin, try no soda?
Well, and the whole idea of, you know, you have a problem, so let's just go back to the basics. Drink, you know, filtered water. Let's eat whole grains that are organic, or whole foods that are organic, not necessarily grains. Like one friend of mine has cut out gluten, and
okay.
she gets very bad allergies every spring. It's springtime. So she goes on a cleanse, and the cleanse says no gluten, so she doesn't have any gluten, and she notices that she's breathing well.
Mm-hmm.
So then she gets off the cleanse, and she says, you know, I'm going to keep off the gluten for a while. So she does. And then she goes and does something and eats a ton of gluten.
Pizza.
And the next 3 days, she's, you know, sniffing and snorting and coughing and sneezing and miserable. And
yes.
But she made the connection.
Gluten,
good. Spring, allergy. So it's not spring, it's gluten that's the problem.
Right. Well,
because you can't get rid of spring, but you can get rid of the gluten, right?
Yeah, the problem isn't out there. The problem is in here.
Yeah.
And this is the main point of the differentiation between the allopathic medicine and their focus on the assault from without. You know, the virus coming from outside, the bacterium infecting you from outside. You know, like it's true for some situations. Like, yes, you get the flu after the exposure to the virus, or you get the tuberculosis after the exposure to the bacterium, or you get the syphilis after the exposure to the spirochete. However, if your body were strong, if your immune system were stronger, you might not have showed any of the symptoms of it.
Right.
That's why we can say, well, if the virus were the 100% cause of that flu, when the epidemic shows up, all children in the class should be sick. All people in the office should be sick, not just some. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so what I'm advocating here is that when you control the inner terrain, when you fix the inner terrain problem, as you just so well put, when you stop digging the hole, things improve.
That's right. That's right. So I have another story about this soda thing that I want to share with you, and that is that a friend of mine and I went down to Mexico a number of months ago, and he was all excited because he wanted to drink Coca-Cola when he was there. And the reason he was excited was in Mexico they make Coca-Cola the old-fashioned way with real sugar.
Uh-huh.
It's real processed sugar, right?
You know, yeah, it probably is cane sugar as opposed to the corn syrup. Right?
That's exactly what he said. It's not this high fructose corn syrup that they use in the States to make it. It's real sugar. And he claimed to be able to tell the difference, and it tasted better, and that was his own concern. And I just thought it was interesting, right? First of all, he's aware of how they sweeten the sodas there and not at all concerned about the impact that could have on his health. And then he was all excited because he would get the old Coca-Cola the way it was made in his youth that he could have, right?
Right on.
So, but I just thought I'd bring this up, too, because I think from time to time we've talked about this high fructose corn syrup and the difference between that and even the processed sugar, which is bad enough.
Right. Yes. Yeah, well, the high fructose corn syrup, that's a devilish invention. This thing would never have happened if there weren't government subsidies shoved at the corn growers. You know, there's money shoveled by the Congress into the hands of people, farmers, agribusiness really, that grows corn. And they have so much corn, they're trying to come up with other ways to use the excess corn, so they figured out that they can use some specific treatment of the corn to produce, through enzymatic conversion, a sweetener that's high fructose. So what they say is that the glycemic index is lower. Well, that may well be true, but it's an unnatural food. It's not really something that you would find in nature, and it's not really something that our digestive system is able to handle. So it's causing, well, the telling effect is the epidemic of obesity in America. I can't blame it on high fructose corn syrup alone, but the entire approach, the subsidization of the grains, both wheat, corn, and soy, pushing of that into making foods cheaper than they should be, and creating foods that are just detrimental to about 50% of the population. Ugh. Okay, let's jump to the next.
Only 50%.
Well, you know, about half the population is really unable to handle carbohydrates. They need to be eating on a high protein, high fat diet. The other half can sort of handle it, but they shouldn't be eating the refined stuff. They should be eating it in natural form. Like, you shouldn't be eating straight fructose juice. You should be eating watermelon.
Right. And watermelon's cheap.
Yeah, absolutely. In season.
In season, yeah. And you need to be eating the foods in season.
Right. And, you know, in general, we are not supposed to be eating these complex lunches. You know, like if you go back to how a foraging animal will eat, you know, say, think of a bear out there in the, wherever it is, in the wild. He'll head into the meadow, and on the meadow he'll eat dandelions and whatever else is blooming right then. And then he'll mosey over another couple of miles, finds an ant hill, break that open and eat the ant larvae. And then tomorrow he'll get lucky and he'll kill a rabbit or something and eat that. So his meals are not as complex as ours. Like the invention of the four-square meal or the complex plates or whatever, you know, where you have a glass of milk and a bit of bread and a bit of meat and a bit of veggies, that's actually not a natural way of being. You know, our natural way, when nature was as, when we lived close to nature, we would find a cherry tree that's loaded with cherries, and we'd eat cherries for 3 days.
Right.
And then the apricot would come into season, and we'd eat apricots for 3 days. And then finally, sometime later, the apple tree would come in season, and we'd eat apples. And everything in between, of course.
Right.
So
the next topic we wanted to get to was one of your favorites, and mine too, and that's fast food.
Oh, no. I want to talk about synthetic vitamins.
Oh, I miss synthetic vitamins.
No, I want to leave fast food for a whole celebration next week.
All right. I missed that that part of the list.
No. Number 17, synthetic vitamins.
Oh, there it is. Okay. So, and actually, before we get into synthetic vitamins, there was a rant that I was watching on, I think it was YouTube the other day, where he had this package by a very well-known food manufacturer, which is kind of a weird term when you think about it, that was like blueberry muffins.
Oh.
And he said, now, you would think that when you label something blueberry, you would have blueberries in it, but there are no blueberries in the blueberry muffin mix. And I guess that would be because it's...
So when you read the ingredients, there is going to be protein bits or something like that?
There's a blue coloring, and there's a blue color, and there's this chemical concoction that basically looks like a blue blotch when you have your blueberries. So not real blueberries in the packaged blueberry muffin mix.
Yeah, that's really disgusting.
Yeah, and then he got into what was actually in that blueberry, quote-unquote, and that got even worse. So we have all these, you know, it's like we imitate the food as opposed to using the food.
Well, that will be because when you can store food for a long time without spoiling, you really improve your operating margins. Like,
yeah.
You know, when you can store it, you can make larger batches, you can make a bigger factory, you can ship it farther, all of that. So you get the economies of scale coming in your advantage, which then means that you can sell that finished package for less, which then means that people are buying it more. And this is where I think we have been so miseducated. You know, when I buy, let's just say, a television set, you know, like I can pick a brand and a model specific, and I can go compare it in three different stores. And I can say, okay, this thing is identical, made in the same factory, and one store sells it for $7.95, one store sells it for $6.95, and one store sells it for $6.50, or whatever the numbers are. Pick some.
Right.
Then I can decide, okay, the level of service I require, and this cheap store doesn't offer it, the middle store does, the high store does too. Do I like the high-priced store better than I like the low-priced store, or do I just go with price? And we have been so conditioned to go with price alone, never mind the service. We have been conditioned to completely delete everything else that comes with the product other than its price. So we buy from the cheap. The people who used to provide service go out of business, or at least cancel their service because they can't afford to add it in. And there we are. We're just chasing the lowest price of an item. When it comes to food or even supplements, chasing the lowest price is a pretty silly strategy. How could you say, I have now bought myself cheaper food to feed myself with? Hallelujah, I'm winning because I'm now feeding my body less expensive ingredients.
Yeah, makes no sense whatsoever.
It's a hollow victory.
And these will probably be the same people that say, oh, I got a $50,000 car.
You think so? Well, maybe so. Yeah, maybe. I mean, it might be that this same guy who has chosen between five different BMW dealers to pick his car on price would possibly be the same guy who's going to be shopping for food on price. And then, of course, at the end of it, he'll go to a restaurant and leave a $50 tip and smoke a $50 cigar at the end of the dinner, right?
Yeah. Think nothing of it.
Yeah. Oh, well, but anyway, I'm really trying to advocate for people to realize that eating the cheap food and cheap supplements is not necessarily the winning long-term strategy.
Well, and if you're eating cheap synthetic vitamin chemicals, they're probably going to do more harm than good.
Yeah. Well, question one, will they even dissolve? Question two, if they do dissolve, will they absorb? Question three, if they do absorb, will they actually physiologically be compatible? Because if you make vitamin E out of petroleum, is it really the right kind of vitamin E, or does it only look like vitamin E?
Right. And then if you have artificial colors and sweeteners and chemicals, you've got that whole thing going on too.
Absolutely. And then, yeah, some versions, for instance, the famous story of vitamin B12. Should we be supplementing the natural B12 or the analog? You know, the cyanocobalamin is not the best form, and it's not really all that helpful. You should be eating raw liver instead. No, I'm being silly. Yes, you should, of course, if you're the meat eater, that would be most appropriate. But certainly you're not going... I was going to talk about the vitamin E as an example, where, each of these molecules... it has cyclic structure to it, and it could be either left-oriented or right-oriented. Think of it as a clock. You know, on our clock, when we say clockwise, we know that it's running in the particular direction from 12 to 1 to 2 to 3, right? You can always say clockwise. But the funny thing is, the Jewish clocks are numbered backwards, and they're running in the opposite direction. We can call it counterclockwise. Well, anyway, every vitamin has its left-oriented or right-oriented version. The left-oriented is life-supporting. The right-oriented is not. So when you look at description, for instance, of amino acids, you would have to have the, not just glutamine, but you need to have L-glutamine, because the L-glutamine is the living form. The D-glutamine, which is the first letter of the Greek word for spinning to the right, will be incompatible, absolutely not useful. Your body will have to completely decompose it and reassemble it before it could use it. So, unless it's clearly specified that these are the living form, life-compatible supplements, they're useless. And I guess the example would be this. If you can take an apple and reduce it to something the size of a eraser on a pencil, what did you have to delete? Did you leave the important things, or did you have to delete some important things that you should have had? When God or nature made the apple, did they delete some things, or did they put some stuff in there just for frivolous reasons? I doubt it. I think it all belongs in there, and it should be eaten in its entirety, not its concentrated form.
Absolutely. So just getting back to that cyanocobalamin.
Yes, that's the word.
It can lead to severe allergic reactions such as hives, difficulty breathing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, or throat. Less serious side effects can include headache, nausea, stomach upset, diarrhea, joint pain, itching, or rash. And in the treatment of some forms of anemia, this is all from Wikipedia, the use of it can lead to severe hypokalemia.
Yes.
Which sounds like leukemia.
No.
What is that?
Kalemia, that would be not enough bile, right?
Oh.
Not enough production of digestive juices.
Oh, I see. And that can be fatal, according to this. And you get a potassium shift. And anyway, it's there's a number of not so nice things that can happen. So.
Oh, I wonder if I misheard you. But when you say hypokalemia, is it with a K? K-A-L?
Yes, yes.
Okay, sorry, I misunderstood. That is actually not enough potassium in the system.
Not enough potassium in the system, yeah.
Which is how we can dysregulate the heartbeat.
Oh, wonderful. Let's just get our heart not working properly.
Yes.
Cool. So we've basically covered three more of the 20 things that are more dangerous to your children than them trying to gnaw on toys that have lead paint on them. And I guess next week we're going to cover a few more.
Yes. Yeah. God willing, if we survive the next week, and I expect it, we'll be back.
Yes. So until then, Martin, if somebody had any more questions on bacon or synthetic vitamins, or what they should do instead of synthetic vitamins, what should they do?
Well, they can go read about all of these things at Life Enthusiast, life-enthusiast.com, or they should call and make an appointment to talk to the health coach. 9 times out of 10, that'll be me at 1-866-543-3388. So thank you very much for listening today. This is Life Enthusiast Co-op, restoring vitality to you and to the planet.